covers the NBA for ESPN.com. Tim Ban McMahon. What's up, Timmy?
Fellas, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. How are the Warriors, man? How are the Warriors?
Hey,
are they healthy?
Check this out, Tim. Check this out, Tim. So, you know, the missile, obviously. I mean, you know the missile well. He's from Houston, big-time Rockets fan. We're doing a – we have a highly rated show in Oklahoma City, right, Tim? And we're coming on, and obviously, first segment, we probably talk about the series that's being played tonight with his team. So I'm like, all right, Missile. All right, Mark, before I ask you, Missile, how you feeling about tonight? Teeing him up, right? He goes, eh, it's okay, I guess. So tell me that the city of Houston, and tell me that the Rockets fans have got a little bit more life and excitement for Game 5 tonight of this Western Conference Finals. Please tell.
Yeah, it's okay.
That was the missile. I mean,
they got
to
give them beer and hot dogs for cheap to get them into the arena.
What's wrong with these Rockets fans, Tim? What's wrong with these Rockets fans?
People too upset about being stuck in traffic?
Well, we'll see. What the atmosphere is tonight. I'll say this. I don't get a sense that they really, truly believe that the Rockets can pull this thing off yet. And honestly, I don't get a sense that the Warriors really respect the Rockets, and I think that's come back to bite them. I think the Warriors, and Draymond Green basically admitted it after game two that they felt like, convince them win game one, just kind of show up, went through the motions, and they got spanked. And then obviously they blew them out in game three. Game four, they come out, and Steph does his thing in the third quarter. He's shimmying, the party's starting. And I think they just kind of felt like it was in the bag. And, the Rockets are a bunch of tough dudes, and they saw that. But I think the Warriors just kind of felt like they were just going to cruise down the stretch of that thing. It'll be 3-1. Series is just over at that point. And the Rockets weren't willing to just roll over for them.
Hey, that's too bad, because I think that, to me, the Warriors are very arrogant, like you said and laid out. But the last 7 to 8 minutes of that game had nothing to do with arrogance the other night. It had to do with the sheer will and intensity of Houston's defensive effort. That should concern the Warriors a little bit. I think they'll – go ahead.
I do think the Warriors also ran out of gas. And, look, it's not like the Rockets were going deep in their rotation. They only played seven guys. But, obviously, the Rockets played great defense in the fourth quarter, but there were also some good looks that the Warriors missed. And, I think taking Andre Iguodala out of the rotation, if nothing else, just for the minutes that he played, really hurt them down the stretch of that game.
As far as Chris Paul and his foot, give us just a health update as you know it down there. Both Golden State Warriors players, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, and then on your beat with Chris Paul, what's injury statuses?
Klay Thompson sounds like he's going to be good to go tonight. Obviously, the knee's not 100%, but he practiced yesterday, went through shoot-around today. Sounds like he'll be in the starting lineup tonight. Andre Iguodala, they're calling a game-time decision. I think that it's more than likely he ends up not playing, but again, that's something that they'll determine before the game. And then Chris Paul, good with foot soreness, and it's something that popped up late in game two. It's not a major injury, but it's something that bothered him. He wasn't as explosive as he'd like to be, as he normally is in game three. Felt better in game four, obviously looked better in game four. It's just something that he's going to have to manage probably for the rest of the playoffs.
Are the Rockets tired? I mean, is the fatigue setting in? I mean, I don't know how Draymond Green got stuffed by the rim the other night. There was nobody in the way of that. I thought that was part of that defining exchange in the game where the Rockets got three extra possessions and then a three to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So, are they physically worn out here?
Like I said, I definitely think that was a factor. Draymond didn't play or didn't rest at all in the second half. And obviously, he's a guy who uses a lot of energy defensively. It was a tough one for Draymond in terms of the highlight reel, the low light reel. When you had James Harden,
he got posterized by Harden.
Yeah, and then the rim rejected him. Oh, it's always painful when you see a guy get rejected by the rim.
Talking with Tim McMahon of ESPN.com, does a great job covering the NBA. He's in Houston. He's been traveling for this Western Conference Finals. Boy, Chris Paul, he had a huge game to get them to this point, but I thought his second half the other night, when it felt like the Warriors had really seized all the momentum, and as you said, we saw the shimmy, but it was Chris Paul, offensively, defensively, just all over the court, who really, I thought, willed this team to victory. Was that as impressive a half as we've seen from Chris Paul, not just in Houston, but really in his playoff career?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a guy who in the closeout game against the Jazz had 41 points, 10 assists, no turnovers. He was pretty flawless in what he had, 22 points in the fourth quarter of that. But this one, obviously, the stakes were much higher. The competition, you're talking about a potential dynasty. And, you know, it was an absolute must-have game for the Rockets. You know, this isn't a game where they've got a 3-1 lead and they're trying to close it out. This was, if they lose that game, basically it's all but over at that point. So, I mean, you can make that case. It was certainly the most important half that Chris Paul's ever played.
Andre Iguodala, you know, trying to warm up and didn't go in the last game. That scares me a little bit about him going tonight. I've tried to argue with Dusty about how important he is of a cog to this team because he's so unselfish. He defends. He does a lot of little things well. And I think that he's kind of they look to him as a reassuring figure out there on the floor. Do you have any insight on whether he's going to go or how long this injury is going to affect him?
Well, you know, the thing is, he didn't even warm up last game. That was the plan, and then it didn't feel good enough for him to even try to warm up. You know, they announced, Steve Kerr announced that Iguodala wasn't going an hour and 45 minutes before the game. And the fact he didn't practice yesterday, I'd be surprised if he plays tonight. We'll see. Maybe he gets treatment throughout the day and is feeling much better. But at this point, I think it's less likely that he plays tonight. And, you know, I agree with you. I think he's a really important guy.
I just love how you guys are going to educate me on the importance of Andre Iguodala. All I've said, and I will continue to say, okay, obviously, if you're at full, they're paying
heard
him
the
what,
way
16,
Dusty talked to me yesterday.
Paying him $16 million for a reason. He's not a bum. But there's four other guys on that team that are probably going to be Hall of Fame players. And the other night, they went 3-for-18 in the fourth quarter. So we could talk about how it throws off the rotations and he's this key piece and all that. That team's got four. Got Kevin Durant, got Steph Curry, got Klay Thompson, got Draymond Green. I was told before this series they're an impenetrable force that can't be beaten. It shouldn't take – if Andre Iguodala goes out, they are so talented it shouldn't matter. At least that's what I've been told before this series. Now all of a sudden it's like Andre Iguodala is the glue that holds the whole damn thing together. Give me a break. I'm not buying it.
There's two things here. Andre Iguodala is a very important piece. And the Warriors deserve absolutely zero sympathy because you're right. I mean, they've got four Hall of Famers. I mean, there's no violin music playing here. Nobody's going to feel sorry for the Warriors. And look, as important as Iguodala is for the Warriors, you can make a case that Luke Mbamute is that guy for the Rockets, and he's basically unplayable now because he has no rhythm. He's coming off the dislocated shoulder that he did twice. He's scared to dunk the ball. He's just such an... He's so out of rhythm now that he got a DNP CD last game. So, you know, as important as Iguodala is, you can allow the same thing about Luke and Mbamute. But to your point, there's no violins playing here. No one feels sorry for the Warriors.
Thank you.
Iguodala did thank those.
Point.
He did thank those All Stars for being a part of his most valuable player in the finals trophy that he won.
Yeah, you guys don't play violins in Oklahoma anyway. It's probably banjos, right?
I'm just saying, we do play banjos.
It's a wash basin. That's a violin if I've ever heard one.
There you go.
Hey, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
Man, I have no idea. I mean, this has been a crazy, unpredictable series. They take turns, lopsided wins. Scores getting higher, or the margin of victory is getting higher every time. Then we finally get a close game. And it was in the freaking 90s? Like, who would have ever imagined these two teams, two of the best offense teams in NBA history, would play a game that ends up in the 90s? So, I have no clue, but I'll say this. I think this series goes one of two ways. Either the Warriors win these next two and close it out in six, or the Rockets win in seven?
It's tough to win game seven on the road, even if you're the Warriors. They just released all NBA team. Curious as to how you voted, and I was surprised to see Damian Lillard on the first team ahead of Russell.
I didn't vote. I'm not necessarily surprised to see, and you gotta remember, these things are done, not that Russ had a great
regular season.
Yeah, it's regular season, so you know the Trailblazers getting swept in the playoffs has no impact on this. And you know, Dame was he had a phenomenal regular season. The Blazers ended up being a three seed. I believe they swept the Thunder, if I'm not mistaken. So that
they did.
That doesn't necessarily surprise me that Dame ended up first team over Russ, despite the fact that obviously Russ had big numbers again.
I don't have any on here that I can really argue with too much. I guess it's a little surprising to see Steph Curry on the third team. You could have put him in place of DeMar DeRozan on the second team, but
well,
I don't know
how many games he missed. He played 51 games. So
that's right.
You know.
I'm actually listen. I would put Russell Westbrook as a better player than Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard was great this year, and I mean it's a regular season award. I mean Tim mentioned it; they swept the Thunder and they finished with a three seed. So I don't think that's overly surprising.
No, and honestly, if I'd have had a vote, that's probably the way that I would have voted. Now, if you ask me which guy I'd rather have, I'd take Russ. But I
same
think
here, yeah.
Lillard had a better regular season.
How about Colin Cowherd leaving him off the top 10 out of the top 10? Did you? I would assume you didn't agree with that.
I would assume that I really didn't see what Colin Cowherd said, nor do I really put any.
I understand. It's been a topic on the station a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when your team's not in the playoffs, I guess you got to search for fodder. I understand.
Oh man, anything on the free agency market? Any little nuggets you can throw at us that you're hearing out there on the beat? Where's Paul George going?
I mean, I think that the money is on him going to L.A. We'll see. But, you know, and look, like when you talk to people about Paul George, people are speculating. Nobody, like, it's not like, you know, any of these people with other teams have sat down and talked to Paul George. But, the expectation is that he will leave OKC. Now, again, that's speculation. That's not people who have sat down and talked to him. Nobody's gone fishing with him and got the inside dirt.
Hey, what about another
player? If you all of a sudden became a free agent, you were able to move to any city in the United States, where would you choose?
Going to Utah.
Is it? I thought Utah might be up there. Is L.A. that good? I know that now, look, tourism, Chamber of Commerce, it's – go ahead.
I'm not going to be a player like – NBA players love L.A. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest with you. To me, it's way too much hassle, way too much traffic.
Hard to get around.
The whole club scene, I'm a 41-year-old dude. Like, what's that doing for me? But NBA players absolutely love L.A. But, I mean, that's not getting guys on its own. Like, you've seen the Lakers strike out a lot. The difference now, though, is they do have some young pieces in place. I think you can reasonably look at that Lakers roster, you know, add an all-star talent and think that they're competing for the playoffs. And, you know, it's also is if you're Paul George and you go there, you think that you're going to be able to get another star to go with you, whether it's LeBron or somebody else.
Well, I'll tell you what,
you're not ready for the club scene at Palm Springs, and you're a little too old for the club scene in L.A.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm kind of stuck in the middle.
Lakers fans were loving LeBron and the Cavs' disappointing game last night. Well, we were talking with Doug Gottlieb last hour about where LeBron may potentially wind up. I won't get into that. But Kawhi Leonard is a guy who I've talked to you about before. Anything on that front? Is there any mending of fences, or has there been any communication back and forth between Pop, the Spurs, and Kawhi?
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything, you know, any inside info. I don't know if they've actually sat down yet. Certainly Pop, and look, Pop's also clearly dealing with a very tough time in his life with the passing of his wife. But the plan is that those guys will sit down. You know, the plan is to try to repair that relationship. But it's not the Pop-Kawhi relationship gone off the rails. It's Kawhi and the front office, you know, Kawhi and kind of the rest of the organization. So I still don't think it's going to be able to get to get fixed. I still, my gut is telling me that Kawhi Leonard is going to end up getting traded this summer, but we will see how that all shakes out.
Where's he going?
That I don't know. And I will say this. What happens with the Celtics this summer is going to be absolutely fascinating because they are loaded with young talent. They got picks. Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, obviously we're talking about all-star players. There's a lot of pieces there, and if, you know, maybe they decide, hey, let's just keep rolling with what we've got, add these two all-stars back into the mix and move forward. Or maybe Danny Ainge tries to do something really bold, like getting a Kawhi Leonard.
It's going to be very, very interesting.
Would you keep Marcus? But how do you see Marcus Smart as part of that equation? I mean, he's one of these guys I think it's hard to put a value on. Can't shoot very good, but he's had some games in this series where he's absolutely essential to that team. And even if you put the stars back on the floor, I still think he could play that role.
Yeah, no, and he's a guy who, you know, he's just a winning player. Now, I would be surprised because, look, if you're the Celtics, you got to look for, you know, look to the future. And these young stars you have, you're going to end up having to pay a lot of money. So you got to start thinking about luxury tax and that kind of thing. So I don't think the Celtics are going to be able to pay Marcus Smart what he might be able to get on the market. And, you know, just talking to people who cover the Celtics, they kind of get a feeling that he's at a point where he will probably take the money instead of staying in Boston. But, you know, we'll see. You don't see guys leave money on the table very often. You know, there are some examples. But this is, you know, this is his – I mean, you don't get too many chances to cash in during an NBA career, and this is his first shot at it.
Hey, last one for me, bring it back full circle to the Game 5 tonight in Houston that nobody's excited about. James Harden wasn't very exciting to watch in the second half. He was in the first half. What's going on with the beard, man? I mean, he goes into spells at times we've seen in this series and through the playoffs where you're just kind of scratching your head.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the guy carried them in the first half of that game.
No question, no doubt.
They're down 12-0, and he scores 24 points in that half to get him back in it. I mean, obviously the Warriors are a hell of a team. He's going to be the focal point for them defensively. And, you know, he played 40-something minutes in that game. I don't think he had his legs down the stretch there. And, you know, something he's going to have to deal with, though, because it's every other game now. You know, it's not like he's going to be able to get or every other day now. It's not like he's going to be able to get 3 or 4 days to rest. So it'll be, and really, the thing with him is how does he shoot the three? Well, that, you know, when he's hitting those threes, he's unstoppable. But he hadn't shot the ball well, really, since game one of the series.
Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for the time today, buddy.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, appreciate it, fellas.
There you go, Tim McMahon, ESPN.